Welcome back to our Advanced Biblical Foundations, and this is a series we're doing on parenting. Parenting in the 21st century. As we've said from every one of these, it's a very difficult time to be a parent. But God believes that you're just the right person to parent your child in this season or your children in this season. And He is equipping us all to do so. And we've been talking from the very beginning that really what discipleship is, what parenting is discipleship. It is literally following Christ, being conformed to His image, growing according to the Word of God, not being religious, not being legalistic, but building a relationship with the living God by the Spirit, and then helping your children do the same thing. So it's a journey. It's a journey that you need to recognize that there is no perfect parenting. There's no perfect children. There's no perfect. The only perfect there was is Jesus. So it's not about being perfect. It's about understanding that everything's not a 10, everything's not magnified, but recognizing that you're looking at where are we headed. Well, you're headed for your children to know the Lord, to grow up, and to have a relationship with Him, not a religion, you know, not just a church-going thing, not forced, but a relationship that really has with the Lord. Help them to make decisions based upon the Word of God. Help them understand the power of prayer. And again, being in relationship, being connected. So what I want to talk about in this session, I want to talk about if you're going to disciple your children, I think the best way, one of the best ways to say it this way, one of the best ways is that you must establish values in your home. And so what do I mean by that? Well, you need to say, the Moore family, we value this. That doesn't mean that you write all these things down on a big plaque and slap it on the board. No, but what you want to do is that you want to instill your values into your children. And so we actually do this. I mean, this is why I said they're going to be like us. They're going to act like us. They're going to respond the way we respond. They're going to do the things that we do. So that really is that. But I want us to be more proactive. Let's think about, wow, we need to establish our values. What do we believe? So that then we can say, hey, that's not according to the values that we've placed. I'm going to go through some of this stuff. But the bottom line is modeling your values and modeling life is discipleship. And that's really what God has called us to do. It's a lifestyle. It's how to live in front of people what God is wanting us to do. So, for example, we can say when there's bad communication, you can say, hey, the Moore family doesn't talk like that. We don't talk about people. We don't criticize people. We don't judge people. We're going to be nice. We're going to be kind. We're going to be sincere. We're going to be respectful. So how do you do that? Well, you have to do that. So instead of trying to get your kids to do that, you got to be sure you do that. So what you end up doing is that you make it a priority. You go, wait a minute, our communication is going to be nice. It's going to be kind. It's going to be gentle. We're not going to jump up and scream and yell and yell at each other. Once you establish that, it's easy instead of just getting angry, it's to them, hey, we value kind, considerate, sincere communication. We value honest communication. So I'm not saying that you can't be upset. We're not saying that you can't respond to something and really it caused you upset. What we're saying, though, is that, wait a minute, we value that, but at the same time, we're not going to allow bad behavior, bad communication to come out. We're not going to yell and scream and get angry with each other. So this goes up huge ways, but I'm just saying that you have to establish the value. You establish how you're going to relate to people. Number one, the Moore family, we're going to forgive. We are going to forgive, and by the way, we're going to bless. We're not just going to forgive them, we're going to bless them. So people will say, wait a minute, you know, you don't know what they did to me. I hear that all the time. No, I don't. But we're going to, but the Moore family values forgiveness, and we are going to forgive. So how do you do that? You model it. You forgive. You forgive them. You say, well, you don't know what they've done. Forgive them. You know, I don't know what they've done. I know this. Walking in forgiveness is walking in love. It's not becoming a smooth road and letting people run over you. I'm not saying that. What I am saying, though, is that in relationships, there's always going to be tension and there's always going to be problems. Somebody's always going to disappoint you, and somebody's always not going to come through with what you expected. So they've got to learn how to handle that. How do they handle that? Forgiveness. You've got to learn how to hold relationships loosely and not try to hold and grip and I need you, I need you, I need you. It doesn't work. You've got to learn how to hold relationships, and you've got to learn how to be a blessing. Remember I told you earlier, the promise to Abraham is that God said, I'm going to bless you so that you'll be a blessing to all the nations. We're blessed. Ephesians 1:3 says, with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, we are blessed already. So I'm functioning from a place of blessing. And so what God wants us to do is understand I'm already blessed, and I'm going to continue to release that blessing. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to love. I'm going to let go of offenses. I'm going to let go of hurt and pain and disappointment. Well, I'm going to let go of that stuff. And so you have to model that. I mean, literally, you have to model it. And what will happen is that as you forgive and you don't hold grudge and you don't hold people's offenses, you let them go, they watch and they model that, and then you're able to help them when the same thing happens to them. Jesus said offenses are going to come. They are. We live in a world, they're going to come. But the reality is that you don't have to be offended. You may have an offense against you, but you have to choose to forgive and choose to bless. The power of forgiveness is huge. We can say it another way. We believe in grace. We want to extend grace. We're not going to hold people to some standard an expectation that they have to do, or they have to live to something, right? Some they may not even know sometimes. No, we're going to extend grace. We want grace, and we want to extend grace. It's so very, very important. Likewise, we value studying the Bible. We value the Bible. We value a biblical worldview. We value the Bible. It guides our life. Again, it's not legalism. It's not rules. It's values. It's values. We see that this is what, wow, wisdom stands on the corner and cries out, it says in Proverbs. Yeah, it's my Bible. My Bible is full of wisdom. It's full of direction. It's a loving Heavenly Father that's given to us His Word, and we value that. We value living by the Word. We value prayer time. We value being connected and having family time. So basically, it establishes a biblical worldview. And that's really what you want to do. You want to start discussing things. Okay, what does the Bible say? What is the world saying? What does the Bible say? Again, it's not legalism. It's life. You want to make sure that it doesn't turn into a legalism deal. You can't do this. You can't do this. And you have to do that. That doesn't work. The focus is on relationship, or relationship with the living God, but He has spoken through His Word to give us guidance and direction. That's really what we're talking about. Now, you need to establish the values of praise and worship, and why. Why do you praise and worship Him, but other than the fact He's worthy? You need to establish the fact that being thankful and grateful should be, I mean, the top of everybody's thinking process. We are thankful. We are grateful. Why? Because if nothing else, Jesus forgave us of sin, forgave us of a debt that we couldn't pay. Wow. We are so thankful and we're so grateful. But just that whole attitude of being thankful and grateful is really, really, really important. And need to be thankful for really everything. We need to make the Holy Spirit real. Not spooky and weird. We've already talked about that. They should be led by the Spirit. You need to help them understand that it's not just for the parents to be led by the Spirit. They can be led by the Spirit. You need to teach them how to pick up things in the Spirit. I mean, all you got to do is ask them, don't you feel stuff at times when you're with people that there's something weird going on? And I guarantee you they'll say, yeah, you know, I pick up stuff all the time. That's the Spirit of God. I went to a class in college, and it was called The Nature of Man. I grew up sheltered. I didn't even know there was stuff like that. And I walked into this class, and I immediately, everything inside of me just began to do cartwheels. And I'd never had that experience before. I didn't know what that was. Later, I realized it's the Spirit of God. I was in a class that was teaching humanism, and I didn't understand it. I just knew I didn't like it. But boy, inside of me, the Spirit man was just going, I felt like it was like, what is going on here? That's what it was. I'd leave the class, it wouldn't have it. Walk back to class, come back the next day or the next week, and it would be the same thing. Well, it was the Spirit of God. So they got to learn how to live by the Spirit. So that's what you can help them to understand that. They go to places. You're walked into a restaurant, and you all immediately, it's like, whoa, I don't like that, whatever that is. Walk into a store, or you immediately know there's something that's not right. What is that? That's the Spirit. And you can help them be sensitive to the Spirit. I think that, again, dreams and visions, it's not spooky and weird, it's real, normal. Prophecy is normal. So you can help them, that's normal living. Do they have to do something or have to act a certain way? No, they don't have to do that. Again, you model for them true relationship with the living God. And again, that's you value these things. These are things that you value as a family. You value a can-do attitude. Don't take any of this, I can't do it, and woe is me, and I'm a victim. No. We value, the more family, we can accomplish all things through Christ who strengthens me. We begin to value that. We begin to build that into the family. There is no more failure in Christ. It doesn't mean we don't have problems. We're not talking about problem-free living. We're talking about how do you live in Christ? How do you live trusting Him? And so we help them understand that, but really a can-do attitude. We value church attendance. I remember when I was a child, I told my dad, I announced to him that I don't like going to church. He said, okay, put your clothes on. I go, no, I don't think you understood me. I don't like going to church. He goes, you know, this family goes to church. When you have a family, you can make a decision about what your family does. But this family goes to church. Put your clothes on and get in the car. So, okay, so much for my expression about it, like church. But the bottom line is that you have to establish that. You have to value all of that. We need to learn how, you got to help them also with the whole issue of money, how they see money, how they handle money. They need to value the less fortunate. We are so blessed in America. Even if you don't have much, you've got more than 99% of the people in the world. I mean, really, I've traveled. We've seen poor people. It's unbelievable. And so we are so, so blessed. So we need to help them understand how to handle money, how to tithe, how to give, how to pray about what to give. Need to cultivate a giving attitude. The Bible says that we're to pray for the grace of giving. God said that, hey, see that the Corinthians have this grace too. They've got all these other graces. See, they have that also. They need to understand why you have a budget. They need to understand why you have a plan. They need to understand the dangers of debt. They need to pray over their purchases. So all of that, again, is a value that as a home establish in them. When do you do that? Early. The earlier the better. With everything that you do, the earlier you start, the better it is in dealing with them. And always, obviously all in love, but you've got to help them understand handling God's money because it's God's money. Help them appreciate what they have. I mean, we should be the most thankful, grateful people all the time because God has given to us really everything that we need. We are so, so blessed. And so we need to appreciate what we do have and not be overly concerned about what we don't have. And again, that's modeled because if we model always wanting something, always achieving, always striving for something, always doing this, they will too. So again, I don't want to put pressure on us, but the reality is that no, they're going to be like us. So every problem I have, they're going to pick up. Every good thing, hopefully they'll pick up. But the fact is that it's a modeling situation. It is a discipleship issue. We're going to value not comparing ourselves. Well, so-and-so has this, and so-and-so doesn't have this, and so-and-so, well, I don't have that, all that kind of stuff. All of that stuff, we just want to help our children to be very, very thankful for what they do have. And we want to help them to learn how to give. And in Luke 6:38 says, give will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. And with the measure you use it, it poured back into your bosom. Got to understand, got to help them understand that that is a universal principle and that that principle applies to every aspect of life. So what is it saying? It's saying that you give and you determine the crop and harvest in your own life. And then Galatians says, Galatians chapter 5 verse 6 says, don't be deceived, for whatever you sow, you're going to reap. So combined together, what it's saying is, you determine your own harvest. You determine what you receive. If you sow hatred, you're going to get hatred. If you sow love, you're going to get love. If you sow forgiveness, you'll get forgiveness. If you sow judgment, you're going to get judgment. If you sow condemnation, you're going to get condemnation. You sow money, you're going to get money. Now, people say, wait a minute. Now, you're talking about your giving to get. No, the principle must understand. He says, don't be deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Now, no man, no place that I know of plants a seed to get a seed. So the law of the multiplication, the law of seed time and harvest, it talks about you plant a seed, you're going to get a stalk, and that stalk's going to produce multiple seeds. So this is what we're talking about. Understanding this is absolutely imperative. Now, I've got an entire series on financial freedom, and I encourage you as parents to be sure you go through that and go through it actually a number of times to where that becomes part of your lifestyle. Then you can communicate that to your children. Now, lastly, let me just talk about a couple of things that I just want to, about the whole issue of peace. I said earlier about having peace. You need to make your house a house of peace, but you need to be a person of peace. How do you do that? Well, John 16:33 says, in Jesus, you have peace. In me, you have peace. In the world, you have tribulation. Don't fear. I've overcome the world. So peace is a person. Peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Peace, he is the Prince of Peace. I mean, he is the ultimate peace. There is no problem that he's not already overcome. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is perfect peace. So our relationship with him produces peace. But the world, the devil, John 10:10, he's a thief and he tries to steal your peace. He tries to steal your joy. So it's crucial as a value in your home. If you want peace in your home, you have to allow peace to rule your home. You have to allow peace to rule you. And once you do that, you begin to realize that you make your house a house of peace. Now, the bottom line is, no matter what's going on out there in the world, and there's a lot of problems, there are a lot of issues out there right now, but you can have a house of peace. And no matter what's going on, maybe it's an apartment. You can have an apartment that could be an apartment of peace. Wherever it is, you can bring peace in. Remember, Jesus sent his disciples out, and when you go to a home, speak peace. If your peace returns to you, then leave. But if your peace is there, then you can go in. What's he saying? Anyway, he's just saying that you carriers of peace, once you release that peace, then if it doesn't just hit you back in the face, then you can go in there and be welcome there. Well, likewise for us, we establish the home in peace, and that's really what God wants us to do. Now, stress, for example, stress is a choice. Why? Because we do too much stuff. We put stress on ourselves. We pressure to measure up. Well, we want to do what everybody else is doing. We feel bad because, you know, our children are not doing this and not doing that. They need to do all these things. They need to be in all the sports events. They need to do outside activities. All of that stuff. You know, who said? See, that's the problem, is allowing peer pressure to dictate. So as a family, you've got to determine, okay, what are we going to do? We are not going to do everything. We are not going to be led by the world's way. We're not going to allow that to happen, because what happens is stress is going to build up. We're not going to be a people of peace. What's going to happen is that we're going to be led by all these events. So what do you do? Well, as I started this section, you've got to establish the values of what you're going to do. You want your children to be involved. You want your children to grow. You want them to have this. You got to determine that. You can't let the world determine that. You can't let the peer pressure determine that. You can't let what they want and this want and what TV wants and what internet wants. You have to establish exactly what you will do and what you will not do. And again, I'm not talking about being rigid or legalistic. I'm just saying that you establish the values of what your family values. What are you going to do? If you value family time, then they can't be involved in every event all the time, and you've got to do everything they do. Because that's what happens. It pulls you away from the reality. And then what you're modeling is that the friendship and all those things are more important than family time. And so, bottom line, parenting is about discipleship. It's about growing in Christ. And therefore, the last thing I'll say to you is that, are you a disciple yourself? If you're not a disciple, it's going to be hard to disciple your children. But that's really the bottom line. Be a wholehearted follower of Jesus, living best you can according to the Word by the Spirit. And again, it's not legalism. It's just living in relationship with Him. So I want to pray for you. I want to thank you for watching. I want to thank you for being a part of the parenting series. Like we've said, there are a number of outstanding books and teachings that are out there. But this, I just wanted to help us to understand that really God has you to take care of your children, His children, at this time. So let me pray for you. Father, we love you and bless you and thank you that, Lord, that you made us the parents to parent your children at this time. I pray for all the parents. Help us, Lord, to really come in agreement with you. Help us to be led by you, Holy Spirit, so we know what to do, when to do, and how to do it. Help us to be parents that really model and really disciple them into a relationship with you. And help us to be a people that really are people of peace, and a people that, Lord, that kids want to be around. Lord, just help us. We need your help. So I pray for everyone that watches this. I pray, Lord, help us. Help us to really be the parents you've called us to be. Lord, we love you, we bless you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to thank everybody for watching. I want to encourage you. We have other videos and other series that we have online. I encourage you to go to our website and to look at the various ones that we have. And I'd like to encourage you, I think you probably need to go through this a number of times. We tell people this, but the best way to get something is for you to go through it yourself, then get some people together and show the videos, and then discuss what we're talking about. If you don't agree, that's fine. But discussion helps you hammer through what do you believe or you don't believe. And it's easy to say, I don't agree with that guy. Okay, well then, but it's good for you to be able to go through those exercises. So I just want to encourage you and bless you. I hope this has been a blessing to you. Thank you for allowing me to share with you. God bless you, and thank you for watching.